The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon. Can cannabis or marijuana cream ease nerve pain? Question. Have there been any studies on the use of cannabis cream to relieve the burning and tingling of neuropathy in one's feet? I was given a jar of cream that contains cannabis along with several other herbal ingredients, but I'm somewhat hesitant to use it. I live in a state where marijuana is legal, so that is not the problem. Answer. There is limited evidence to support topical cannabis for neuropathy, and that's cited in the journal Deutsches Arztblatt, September 22, 2017. There are, however, several studies suggesting that inhaled marijuana may offer relief for some people with this painful condition. That's cited in Journal of Pain, December 2015 and June 2016. A recent overview of research points out that long-term risks of such treatment, quote-unquote, have not been well studied, and that's cited in the Cochrane Database of Systemic Reviews, or Systematic Reviews, March 7, 2018. Question. I do not like taking drugs or supplements. My doctor has told me that I am pre-diabetic and I need to get my cholesterol under control. Do you have any recommendations how I can do this through my diet? Answer. You can make a lot of progress by cutting back on sugar and simple carbs and eating lots of non-starchy vegetables, adding cinnamon to your coffee grounds, drinking fenugreek Greek tea, and using a salad dressing with mustard and vinegar at most meals also will help. You can learn how to prepare these foods and a number of others in our book, Recipes and Remedies, from the People's Pharmacy. Question. My teenage daughter swam competitively for several years. This led to constant problems with broken nails until she took gelatin capsules. The gelatin pretty much cured the problem. Answer. Gelatin has had a reputation for building stronger nails for decades. What little research has been carried out, however, was done long ago. The best study we could find was in the AMA Archives of Dermatology from September 1957. The researchers reported that 43 of 50 patients with brittle nails who ingested gelatin daily for 3 months showed improvement in their nail structure. Is NyQuil a good sleep aid? Question. I am past 60 and have tried numerous supplements to keep from having to get up several times a night. During the winter, I had occasion to take a shot of NyQuil or something similar. I find when I do that, I don't get up. I'm somewhat leery of taking it too often. Do you have an opinion or a solution? I do not use sleep aids, and I wonder if the cold medicine is acting as a sleep aid. Answer. NyQuil liquid contains a sedating antihistamine called doxylamine. It is the same ingredient found in Unisom sleep tabs. In addition, NyQuil contains 10% alcohol as an inactive ingredient. For comparison, beer is about 4 to 6% alcohol and wine averages about 12%. Many sleep experts caution against using alcohol as a sleep aid. While it may help people fall asleep a little faster, it can disrupt normal sleep patterns. And that's cited in Alcohol, June 2015. Occasional use of NyQuil when you have a cold should not pose a problem, though regular use to stay asleep is not advisable. To learn about safer ways to deal with insomnia and early morning wakening, you may find our guide to getting a good night's sleep helpful. It is available as an online resource at peoplespharmacy.com. Daytime sun exposure, acupuncture, magnesium, or cognitive behavioral therapy might be helpful. Question. I experienced a pain in my chest last week that I initially thought was indigestion. The pain progressed so much that I tried to make myself throw up, hoping to get some relief. I ended up in the emergency room with the worst pain I've ever had in my life. They did all sorts of tests, EKGs, CT scans, ultrasound, blood work, thinking it might be a heart attack or gastrointestinal problem. Everything came back near perfect, except that they found portal hypertension of the liver. That indicates chronic liver failure consistent with early cirrhosis. I may have had 2 or 3 drinks a year, so it isn't due to alcohol abuse. I have never had hepatitis, but I have been taking Adderall XR for 6 years to deal with my foggy brain. This is the only medication I take. I'll have to get off the Adderall now and wonder how I'm going to be able to function mentally. I wish I had known earlier that such stimulants may affect the liver. Answer. There is no way you could have known of this danger since liver damage is not listed in the prescribing information for Adderall XR. However, there is a case report of a 55-year-old woman who developed acute liver injury as a result of taking Adderall at the prescribed dose, and that's in Case Reports in Gastrointestinal Medicine online, June 23, 2013. The authors point out that this reaction is very rare, but they conclude clinicians need to be alert to possible liver injury when using Adderall. Question. I have used Gentian Violet for my toenail fungus with great success. It does dye my toes purple, but with nail fungus, I was not wearing open-toed shoes anyway. You can get this online or at most pharmacies. Gentian Violet is really cheap, like $2 a bottle. Answer. Gentian or Crystal Violet is a bright blue-violet dye that was synthesized in the 19th century. It was derived from plants in the genus Gentianum. This compound has antibacterial, antiviral, antiparasitic, and antifungal activity. Dermatologists have reported benefit using this old-fashioned topical medication for treating toenail fungus, and that's cited in Experimental Dermatology, December 2013. Study shows immune therapy extends lives of lung cancer patients, and this is by Denise Grady from the New York Times. The odds of survival can greatly improve for people with the most common type of lung cancer if they are given a new type of drug that activates the immune system, along with the usual chemotherapy, a major new study has shown. The findings should change medical practice immediately, cancer experts say. Patients with this type of lung cancer should receive the new type of treatment, immunotherapy, as early as possible after the diagnosis is made. What it suggests is that chemotherapy alone is no longer a standard of care, says Dr. Lena Gandhi, a leader of the study and director of the Thoracic Medical Oncology Program at the Perlmutter Cancer Center at New York University's Langone Health. The findings represent another step forward for immunotherapy, which has been making steady gains against a number of different cancers. 4 drugs called checkpoint inhibitors, which unleash the patient's own immune system to kill malignant cells, have been approved so far. They cost more than $100,000 a year, can have serious side effects, and help only some patients, generally fewer than half. But when the drugs work, responses can be long-lasting, and researchers are rushing to find ways to combine treatments to improve their effects and to determine which formulation is best for each patient. I've been treating lung cancer for 25 years now and have never seen such a big paradigm shift as we're seeing with immunotherapy, says Dr. Roy Herbst, chief of medical oncology at the Yale Cancer Center. He was not involved in the pembrolizumab study. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death globally, causing 1.7 million deaths a year. In the United States, it is expected to kill more than 154,000 people in 2018. Patients in the study had an advanced stage of non-squamous, non-small cell lung cancer. The immune-activating drug was a checkpoint inhibitor called pembrolizumab, or Keytruda, made by Merck, which paid for the study. The chemotherapy was a drug called pemetrexed plus either carboplatin or cisplatin. Gandhi said chemotherapy alone had only a modest benefit and could add only a few months of life, with most patients surviving about a year or less. The combination treatment is a significant improvement, she said. It is already approved as a first-line treatment for this disease, so it should be covered by health insurers. She was scheduled to present the results Monday, this past Monday, in Chicago at a meeting of the American Association for Cancer Research, and they were also published in the New England Journal of Medicine. If you want to see long-term survival, you've got to give immunotherapy as soon as possible, Herb said. Chemotherapy has limitations. Immunotherapy has the ability to cure. I lead the Yale lung team. We have patients on these immunotherapies alive more than 8 years. Other studies in lung cancer have involved another checkpoint inhibitor, nivolumab or Opdivo, made by Bristol-Myers Squibb, which works in a similar way to Keytruda. The data are not conclusive, but Herp said, in lung cancer, my suspicion is these drugs are the same, like Coke versus Pepsi. Most patients stay on the drugs for 2 years, he said. One Yale patient who has survived for 8 years took the drug for 2 years and has remained well ever since. Another had to stop because of side effects after only 2 or 3 months, but is still well 2 years later. Herbst offered several theories about why chemotherapy and immunotherapy could work well together. He said that tumor cells were like bags of hidden proteins that, if exposed, the immune system could use as targets to find and attack cancer. By killing some tumor cells, chemotherapy could pop open the bags, release the contents, and help immune cells, unleashed by the checkpoint drugs, to identify their prey. It is also possible, he said, that chemotherapy may kill some immune cells that interfere with the cancer-killing action of other parts of the immune system. Gandhi's study included 616 patients with advanced lung cancer, ages 34 to 84, from medical centers in 16 countries. Tea drinking may reduce risk of cognitive disorders, and this is the Mayo Health Letter. Coffee isn't the only hot, healthy beverage. Drinking tea also has many health benefits. According to a recent study, this may include reducing the risk of developing memory or cognitive disorders. The study, published in the Journal of Nutrition, Health and Aging, followed 1,000 older adults for 5 years. In that group, about 70% of people were regular tea drinkers. At the end of the study, tea drinkers were nearly half as likely as those who didn't drink tea to develop a cognitive disorder. Various types of tea, whether green, black, or oolong, appear to be equally effective. The more important factor in reducing risk of cognitive disorders was regular tea drinking over long periods of time. Although the study is suggestive of the tea drinking benefit, it doesn't prove cause and effect. In addition, there were factors that may have affected the results. As a group, the tea drinkers had higher levels of education, ate a healthier diet, had better mental status scores at the outset, and were more likely to be physically active than were non-tea drinkers. When researchers controlled statistically for these factors, the calculated tea drinking benefit was somewhat weakened. This study isn't the first to find an association between tea drinking and reduced risk of cognitive decline or dementia. More investigation is needed to determine whether drinking tea or other lifestyle choices and demographics characteristics associated with drinking tea are cognitively protective. There may be numerous health benefits to enjoying tea. Tea contains polyphenols such as catechins. These compounds help protect cells with their antioxidant activity. Research has also associated tea consumption with living longer and having better functional ability. More specifically, improvements in cardiovascular health, cholesterol levels, and blood pressure. Essential tremor. Understanding the most common tremor. Your hands shake when you're trying to tie your shoelaces or hold a fork at dinner. This is a classic sign of essential tremor, a nervous system disorder that causes involuntary and rhythmic movement. Though most people more readily associate tremors with Parkinson's disease, this benign essential tremor is actually more common. Essential tremor isn't a dangerous disorder, but it can take a toll on your quality of life. But you may find it difficult to perform simple tasks such as writing a letter or shaving. In severe cases, essential tremor can cause disability. Experts aren't exactly sure why essential tremor occurs. A large percentage of people diagnosed with essential tremor have a family history of it, suggesting genetics may play a role. Environmental factors are thought to have an impact as well. Essential tremor typically is noticed when you use your hands, with the tremor worsening at the end of action. For example, when your hand finally connects with a glass of water you're reaching for at the dinner table, stress, fatigue, caffeine, and extreme temperatures can worsen symptoms. Tremors tend to be focused in the hands, voice, and head. If your head is affected, you may notice a yes, yes, or no, no motion. Unlike Parkinson's, essential tremor usually doesn't cause other health problems. However, some people with essential tremor may develop an unsteady gait. While there's no specific test for essential tremor, your doctor may take a history of your symptoms, perform a physical exam, and order blood or urine tests to rule out other conditions. You may be asked to draw a spiral, holding your arms outstretched, or take a sip from a glass of water so your doctor can note how your tremor responds. If it's not clear whether it's essential tremor or Parkinson's disease, specialized imaging called a dopamine transporter, DAT, scan can often differentiate between the two. Treatment options. People with essential tremor don't always require treatment, particularly if symptoms are mild. But in those with tremors affecting the way they work or live, treatment options include medication such as beta blockers, anti-seizure drugs, sedatives, and Botox injections to relieve tremors. Therapy, physical or occupational therapy to build muscle strength and control. Finally, surgery, deep brain stimulation, which can short-circuit signals that are causing tremors in people with severe unresponsive symptoms. Focused ultrasound is a new technique that's being used to treat essential tremor. If you have essential tremor, you may be able to change your lifestyle to help control the condition. Strategies can include avoiding caffeine and stimulants, using relaxation techniques such as meditation, making adaptive changes such as utilizing voice recognition technology on your phone or computer instead of typing, or using a straw to drink. Though drinking a small amount of alcohol can temporarily relieve tremors, it is not a recommended treatment because tremors may worsen when alcohol wears off or with chronic use, and it could eventually lead to alcohol abuse. So the difference between essential tremor and Parkinson's disease. First, family history of the disease under essential tremor accounts for at least 50% of cases. For Parkinson's disease, present in only about 15% of people diagnosed. Age of onset for essential tremor, most common in those 65 or older, though it can develop in younger adults. Parkinson's usually occurs after age 50, but can develop at a younger age. When it's noticeable, essential tremor, typically during everyday activities, Parkinson's mostly while at rest. Parts of the body affected, essential tremors, hands and arms can also affect head, voice, eyelids, and rarely legs and feet. For Parkinson's, in the hands, arms, legs, feet, in rare cases, voice and head. Movement for essential tremor usually doesn't affect walking except in severe cases. Parkinson's, slow movement, stiffness, and difficulties walking or staying balanced are common. Alcohol consumption. Essential tremor can improve tremor initially, but may temporarily worsen tremor when it wears off. For Parkinson's, alcohol has no effect on tremor. Finally, stress. For essential tremor, worsens tremor. for Parkinson's also worsens tremor. Nail appearance. What it says about your health. The appearance of your nails may seem like a mere cosmetic concern. However, the presence of certain common medical conditions or even severe disease can produce subtle or obvious changes in nail color or growth. Nail changes often occur late in the course of an illness, so you and your doctor may already be aware of the condition, but not always. Changes in texture, color, and even the shape of your nails can sometimes be associated with important medical concerns. Changing nails. Healthy nails are generally smooth and free of ridges, grooves, spots, or discoloration. Harmless nail changes, such as vertical ridges that run the length of the nail, do occur and tend to become more obvious with age. A minor injury to a nail may show up as white lines or spots. A crush injury, such as a hammer strike or being pinched in a door, may cause a black spot beneath the nail that gradually disappears over time. Aging, repeated immersion in water, or use of strong soap or chemicals can all cause nails to become brittle. The changes shown in the chart below are more concerning. Bow's lines. These are indentations that run across the nail's width. They can appear when growth under the nail cuticle is interrupted by severe illness, such as uncontrolled diabetes and hardening of the arteries, or serious infections such as pneumonia. Chemotherapy drugs also may interrupt nail growth. Bow's lines typically grow out with the nail and eventually can be trimmed off. Pitting. Small random depressions or pits in the nails are commonly seen in people who have psoriasis. Nail pitting may also occur due to certain autoimmune or inflammatory diseases and in people with hair loss. Onycholysis. This involves separation of the nail from the nail bed. As the nail separates, the color beneath the unattached portion may appear white, yellow, or sometimes green, depending on the cause. Various causes for the separation include injury, fungal infection, and reaction to a medication or a consumer product such as a nail hardener or adhesive. Clubbing. Nail clubbing appears as a broadening and rounding of the fingers and toes, as well as curving of the nails around the fingertips and toes. Usually develops over the course of years. Clubbing may be a sign of chronic lack of oxygen in the blood. It can be associated with various lung diseases, some forms of heart disease, liver disease, inflammatory bowel disease, and cancers. Spoon nails. These soft, thin nails appear scooped out. The spoon-like depression is typically capable of holding a drop of liquid. Spoon nails can be a sign of iron deficiency, anemia, or iron overload. Spoon nails may also develop in association with coronary artery disease and an underactive thyroid or hypothyroidism. Yellow nail syndrome. This syndrome is rare and includes swelling with or without lung disease, such as a chronic infection of the airways or recurrent pneumonia. Nails may not have a cuticle and may detach from the nail bed in places. New growth is slow, and nails often become thicker, taking on a yellowish color. Terry's nails. These nails appear to be mostly whitish or light pink with a thin band at the tip that's pink to brownish. Terry's nails may indicate liver trouble, heart failure, or diabetes. Half and half nails are called Lindsay's nails. Nails are dull white as they grow out from the nail bed, with color becoming pink to reddish brown about halfway out. This may be an indication of kidney disease. Melanoma involving the nail, which is otherwise known as subungual melanoma. It's relatively uncommon for this deadly form of skin cancer to show up under a nail. However, anything that appears as a brown or black discoloration in a nail, often in the form of a line or streak, but sometimes irregularly shaped, warrants evaluation by a doctor. Is second opinion. Question, is breast cancer always accompanied by a lump? Answer, not always. Many women with breast cancer never have any signs or symptoms, and their cancer is found on a screening test such as a mammogram. Among women who do experience warning signs, a lump in the breast or underarm area is the most common red flag. However, As a recent study illustrates, some women will discover their cancer because they're experiencing other less common signs and symptoms. In a presentation at the 2016 National Cancer Research Institute conference, British researchers noticed that among more than 2,300 women they studied who were diagnosed with breast cancer, 83% sought medical attention because they found a lump. For the other women, nipple abnormalities such as discharge or a nipple that turned inward, breast and non-breast related pain such as back pain and unintentional weight loss are what alerted them that something was wrong. Breast cancer can also cause changes in the skin of the breast or to the nipple and areola, such as dimpling and pitting, similar in appearance to an orange peel, thickening, reddening, scaling, itching, and swelling, with or without a lump. Depending on the symptoms, these changes may be attributed to rarer cancers, such as Paget's disease of the breast, or an unusual but aggressive form of breast cancer known as inflammatory breast cancer. It's worth noting that breast changes, including lumps, often turn out to be non-cancerous or benign, but it's a good idea to become familiar with how your breasts normally feel so that you can alert your doctor to any changes and get them checked out if they don't resolve within a few weeks. The British study also found it took women with non-lump signs and symptoms longer to seek care than it did for women who found lumps. I had an extremely painful headache. They were diagnosed as a cluster headache in the emergency department. I was treated with oxygen and the pain disappeared. Is it common to treat headaches with oxygen? Answer, if you have cluster headaches and begin having a painful attack, a common and established therapy is using 100% oxygen delivered with a face mask. This often relieves the pain within 15 to 30 minutes. And although oxygen has been investigated for treating migraines and may sometimes still be tried, there's no good evidence supporting this use. Oxygen isn't known to be useful in other types of headaches. When available and if known to be effective, oxygen is usually the preferred therapy for a cluster headache attack over other treatments such as triptan drugs that have potential side effects and risks. Oxygen is low cost, has no side effects, and can work well in an emergency department setting. However, a cluster headache attack may go away before you get to the emergency care. For some, an at-home oxygen cylinder and regulator can work to stop cluster headaches in progress, but it's not always convenient or practical. Oxygen doesn't play a role in preventing cluster headaches and is used only to stop one in progress. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or question, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy.